the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
That's right. Hey, you know what? It's time to light them up, all right? We got some phone lines open. We have a couple of lines open anyway, and I'd like to see them all filled because we're here to help you out with your money and your money strategies. Getting started right away with another hour of Bucket Strategy Investing. I'm Johnny Dean. It's time to get things moving. Our lead brain trust advisor, and I would throw in all-around good guy, Professor Rick Plum. He's back with me for more. We're here in studio talking about what's important to you, I would say at least on the money side of everything. We're standing by. We're ready to help you out with your most pressing money questions. We've got a lot of things to talk about this hour. We'll be taking your phone calls, as we always do. We're going to be doing that first, in fact. So if you're on hold, stick around. If you're not on hold, you need to participate in the program. Our number here in studio, 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. We're taking your phone calls first, so get your money questions ready and give us a call. As for your emails, you send those questions to us, your comments, whatever, to wealthed.com. That's our website at the Find Your Answer link. We'll get your email here in the studio, and we will answer your question here on the program. Now, Brain Trust here, standing by for you. We can do so both on the air and off the air, conveniently enough. You keep in mind that the advisors at Lucia Capital Group can help you out with your own individual situation. If you want a personalized bucket strategy, you can get in touch with the professor or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Their off-air number, 800-644-1150. They'll set you up with your own bucket strategy. They'll talk to you about anything that we talk about on this program. They got an entire network of Brain Trust advisors who are standing by ready to help you out. Again, the off-air number, 800-644-1150. Our number on the air, 877-PLANNER. I want to get into some of this stuff on step-up in basis. We will cover that, why it's important to understand what that means from, say, an estate planning standpoint and from a tax standpoint, too. So we'll tell you more about that in just a couple of moments, but I do want to take your phone calls right now because Professor Plum is charging me a fortune, or somebody a fortune. I don't
know. I wish.
Wouldn't that be nice? Let's move along to Richard up next in Las Vegas. Hello, Richard.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hi.
A year or so ago, I talked to the professor about a very large donation of Exxon stock.
Yes?
Yes.
And I have those numbers. But anyway, that was in 2014. Then I wrote down a number for the carryover, you know, for the 5-year carryover.
Right.
And I don't know where the number came from.
Okay, I'm not going to say I know where it came from off the top of my head either. But when we make a large charitable donation, a piece of property, a large stock portfolio, the deduction is limited. In the limit, I cannot reduce my income to zero because of a charitable deduction. If I have $100,000 of income and I make a $100,000 donation to charity, I can't show zero taxable income for the year. The most that I can write off is somewhere between 20 and 50% of my adjusted gross income. So if I have $100,000 adjusted gross income, and I make a $100,000 donation of appreciated stock to a public charity, I'm limited in that particular case to a 30% deduction. So the most I can write off in 1 year is 30% of my adjusted gross income, $30,000. But I made a gift of $100,000. The other $70,000 I carry forward to the following year. And then if I can't use it all then, I carry it forward. I've got 5 years, I can carry it forward to use up that contribution. So where you got the number from, I'm not sure. You would probably go back to your tax return from the year that you made the original donation to see how much of the donation you were able to use, and then the rest of it got carried forward to the next year.
Okay. Yeah, I've been looking in. There's a publication, 526, that says you can go up to 50% limit.
Right. You had a different issue. I mean, appreciated stock is limited to 30. Cash is limited to 50. There's all these rules about what you can and can't do, and we're talking about a public charity, not a private foundation. Those are different rules as well. And I'm trying to remember a year and a so ago when we were talking about this. I'm trying to remember what was happening with it, but you're going to have to go back and recreate it or look at the tax return to see how much carried forward.
Okay, so there is a 30% limit.
Well, but there was something about your gift that allowed you to qualify it for the 50% deduction. Because there wasn't appreciation. I can't remember what it was now. But it's been a while since we talked. I'm sorry, I can't remember it.
Do you remember the characteristics of what that was, Richard, or do you recall?
Yeah, it was a gift of Exxon stock.
Right,
right.
Up to about, there was like $700,000 of it.
Right, and I'm trying to remember why we were able to, or you were able to, classify it for the 50% donation limit rather than the 30% donation limit. But like I said, it's been a year since we spoke, and I don't remember yesterday that well, let alone a year ago.
Okay, so that carryover will actually be a pretty small amount then.
Well, look at, you know what the value was of the gift was. It should be on your 2014 tax return, and it'll show you how much you actually deducted on your Schedule A, and whatever the value was that wasn't deducted gets carried forward.
Okay, but carry forward at some percent.
Well, carry forward at what's at the remaining value.
Okay.
If I gave away $700,000 and I was able to use $200,000 of it to reduce my income in 2014, I have $500,000 left. I get to use whatever I can use this year. And if then I have $200,000 left, I'll use it next year. I just keep carrying it forward until such time as I can use it all, or until the carry forward expires after 5 years.
Okay, I understand now. I had written in a number of carryover, but it was a huge number, though. So.
Well, you made a huge donation.
Oh, yeah. So the carryover
is whatever you didn't use.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my understanding of it. This is where accountants really earn their
Yeah,
I'll
tell you what, if you need some more help, Richard, hold on, and maybe we can talk to you a little bit more about this off the air. I do remember that.
I remember the call, and I remember talking with him after the show.
Has it been a year already? It seems like
he was doing his 2014 return last time we talked.
Wow. Okay, so his situation was this, and thank you for the call, Richard. I appreciate it. His situation was he had a bunch of appreciated stock, ExxonMobil, as it turned out. He wanted to give it away. He was actually gifting it.
Right. I mean, it was a good time to gift it because it was before the market crashed.
Yes.
In the oil stocks.
Yes. Now, if you would, again, for people that are tuning in or just heard part of that, how does this, what do we mean when we're talking about carrying over the gift or the donation?
One of the things we're looking to do when we make a charitable gift is to take a tax deduction. We like tax deductions. And so when we make a gift, typically we can include that on our tax return as a deduction. It reduces our taxable income. How much can it reduce it? Well, there are limits. You cannot completely eliminate your income for the year just by charitable donations. Like I mentioned before, if I have $100,000 of total income for the year and I give away an asset, whether it's real estate, stocks, or whatever it might be, worth $100,000, I cannot use the entire deduction this year. I can't eliminate the entire income by just charitable donations. The most that I can offset is 50% of my adjusted gross income. So like I said, if I had $100,000 of total income, adjusted gross income for the year, doesn't matter how large the gift is over $50,000, 50 is the most I can use this year assuming I'm giving cash, because that's 50% of my adjusted gross income.
So if I had just $500,000 that I wanted to give away,
right?
You give it all away to whatever recognized charity it is, 50 of it you could take off of your adjusted gross income.
Right, or 50% of my adjusted gross income. We're dealing with this $100,000 income right now. But so let's say I had a piece of raw land that was worth $500,000, and I gave away, the piece of raw land, $500,000. But my adjusted gross income is only 50. I can basically use a certain amount of it every year. What I don't use this year as a deduction, I carry over to next year. And what I don't use next year, I carry over the following year. I can do that for 5 years. Now, if I have $100,000 adjusted gross income and I give away $500,000 in cash, I'm not, unless I find something to increase my adjusted gross income,
you're only gonna
I'm
be
not
able gonna
be able to
half.
Deduct the whole thing.
Right.
Because I'm gonna be limited. And so that's where Roth conversions come in play, and we have other areas where we can make some adjustments. But if you're looking to it for the tax deduction, make sure you don't give away too much unless your income is high enough to support it. But it's what they call a carry forward. Just like if I sell an asset with a huge loss in it, I'm only allowed to use the loss against other income, not including capital gains, $3,000 a year. So I sell a stock that I lost $100,000 on and I don't have any other gains anywhere else, I can use $3,000 of it this year. the other 97,000 I carry over till next year. Start next year with a $97,000 loss.
The difference on that is there's no 5-year limit.
There's no 5-year limit.
You can but do it for 50 years if you want.
Charitable donations have a 5-year carry forward limit. But it gives me 5 years to use up the charitable contribution to make sure I get as much of the deduction as I can.
Yeah, and I've never understood that 5-year limit because, frankly, I mean, this could ace out some people that say, well, I'm not gonna, just not going to give that much to charity because I want the charity to get it, but why would I, why I need to get a deduction for it?
If you are looking for the deduction, you're not as charitably inclined as maybe you. Give the money to, if you want to give the money, give it to charity. Tax savings are a separate issue. It's a bonus. But if you're charitably inclined, give it to charity. Don't let the lack of a tax deduction stop you.
If they stop taking giving tax deductions for charity, I think you'd see a lot of it dry up, unfortunately. That's just the way it is.
Because it's what pushes you over the fence to give it.
That's right. Okay, 877-PLANNER, lines open. Taking your phone calls when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing. This will send you into the weekend, won't it? This is Professor Plum cranking it up on his 1974. What did you have?
My car?
Yeah, what did you drive in high school?
Mercury Capri.
Oh, Capri. Oh, I thought you had like a nice big, you didn't have one of those big muscle cars.
No, I couldn't afford that.
Oh, well, I
wanted
to.
Anything
could stop you. Oh, all right, okay. Well,
I drove it like it was a big muscle car.
Okay, a Capri?
Had a V6, reworked the motor a little bit.
Okay, well, then maybe that's what it was. Anyway, it had a little bit more
muscle. It went
fast.
It got me in a lot of tickets.
As you would expect. Johnny Dean, Professor Plum here, answering your money questions. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Professor Plum will be hurrying, but not speeding, to the Phoenix area a week from tomorrow. That's where the next workshop, Lucia Capital Group Retirement Income Strategies Workshop, will be in Phoenix. That's coming up on March 12th. It's a week from tomorrow. In Phoenix, you can join the Brain Trust, Scottsdale, Phoenix, wherever you happen to be. They'll be there answering your money questions and talking to you about your retirement income strategies. A whole bunch of ways to keep from money running out of money before you run out of time. That's the goal. So they're going to try to do what they can to tell you all about that. You can also get all your questions answered. Now, after Phoenix, Saturday, March 19th, Portland, Oregon, and then in Houston, Texas, they'll be there on Saturday, April 9th. So the next three, Phoenix, Portland, and Houston, if you want to sign up for them, they're free, of course. You go to wealthed.com, our website, wealthed.com. Say you want to be there, and we'll put the chairs out for you. And I think you're going to have a really fun time and learn a lot, too. Ask anybody who's been there. I would say that. Professor Plum, you can tell me. You know. Everybody who's there has a great deal.
We have fun.
Sure.
I mean, it is educational. It's informative. But we're also, you know, having fun when we're doing it.
Right, and it's a back and forth so that if you have questions, you can ask them either during the show or right afterwards. Corner one of them, collar them, whatever, and just say, here's my question. Okay, wealthed.com. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Now, before the break, we were talking with Richard. We weren't quite sure, Professor Plum.
But I do remember what was going on with
okay,
the call.
Okay, so now Richard has called back, I think, with some information. Are you back with us, Richard?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so you said you had some additional information. Is that right?
Okay, the very first gift was Exxon stock.
Right.
At say, $650,000. I'll round off.
Okay.
And then in my 2014 folder, I've written down a carryover of $565,000. I don't know where that number came from.
Well, it tells me that you probably used about $85,000 of the donation. So your income may have been about $170,000 in 2014.
In 2014, it was.
Yeah, and you were using, and now I remember the call, you were using a different method to value the stock so that you could use the 50% limit rather than the 30% limit so you could try to use up as much of the gift as possible before the 5 years ran out. And the 30% limit applies to appreciated stock. But if you choose to use the value of your basis, which is if it's lower, you can use the 50% limit. So you were using the 50% limit to get a bigger contribution limit. You know, in your case, an $85,000 limit instead of a $50,000, $55,000 deduction. So you know, that's where the difference came from. And that's what, so next year, or this year, 250, you start with a gift of $565,000 being carried forward.
Okay, so
but the stock was worth a little bit more than 650 when you gave it. Your basis was 650.
Right. I went back over all the dividends and all that kind of stuff and recalculated it all,
Right, so you were using a different method, slightly different method, so that even though you gave stock, you were using your basis, which allowed you to use the 50% deduction, and now you've got this year that you can write off another 50% of your adjusted gross income, even though you didn't make a gift this year. It's the remaining deduction, or more of the deduction, from the 2014 gift.
Was your AGI about the same this year, Richard?
Well, I also wrote in 50% of the AGI was $135,000. So I had an AGI of $270,000.
Oh.
Okay, well, this is where accountants really make, make your life a lot easier.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Richard, listen, do you have any other questions, or does this help you out?
No, that's okay. I just didn't know where I got that number.
Okay. Yeah, that's where it came from. It was half of your, what your AGI was at the time, assuming that all the numbers are correct here.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Okay. Fine. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome, Richard. Thank you for calling and for listening to the show. We appreciate it.
Did he say his AGI was 270?
That's what he said. He said he could do 135.
This year. Oh, because his AGI was a lot higher this year than last year.
Correct, yeah.
So he can use up 135 of the remaining 565,
right. And
then next year do it again.
Yes, exactly. He's doing very well.
Well, if you can give away $700,000, you're doing exceptionally well.
No kidding. I mean, I gave an example of if you have $100,000, you make $100,000 and you have a $500,000, something, cash or land or something, and you decide you want to give that away, you can't write off all of that if you give it all away at once.
No, you can't. And so it is limited on the deduction.
It is. And I think that would tend to discourage people. But then what do I know? Okay, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. I want to get to some of these emails. Barry in Henderson, Nevada. My IRA is valued at $400,000. I turned 70 this July. My wife and I are both on Social Security. Would you recommend a QLAC, a Qualified Longevity Annuity Contract, a QLAC? These longevity annuities, Professor Plum, I think somebody's after Barry's 400 grand.
Well, and 400,000, he could potentially put 100,000 into what is known as a Qualified Longevity Annuity Contract. And he could avoid the required minimum distribution on that $100,000 that he put into this particular type of contract. That would save him a little bit in taxes. Now, if he's only on Social Security, it's not going to save you much in the way of taxes. In fact, it's not going to save you anything in taxes. If the only income you have is Social Security, it's unlikely that you're going to owe any taxes on your required minimum distribution in the first place. So that would be one reason why I would potentially not do a QLAC. The other reason that I would not potentially look at a QLAC for you is because they stink. They're horrible. They don't do anything worth a darn, and it's like earning nothing for the rest of your life, if you even get that much.
They're horrible for everybody? Are we making a blanket statement here?
Everyone that I have seen, now maybe there's a new one out there I haven't seen, everyone that I've seen is horrible. And there'd be absolutely no reason to do one. From an investment standpoint, they're horrible. From a required minimum distribution standpoint, they don't do anything. They're just, it's Congress thinking of a problem, creating a solution to a problem that doesn't exist, and then insurance companies trying to help out with that problem, but there's no money. They don't make any money. It does allow you to defer some of the required minimum distribution, but you're also not going to earn any money on it. You put away 100 grand now, and it will start giving you an income when you're 85. If you die before 85, your heirs may get the $100,000. If you die at 87, all you got was the two years' worth of payments. You got to live to be about 98 just to get your own money back. Horrible, horrible, horrible. They created them to address the retirement income problem. Well, frankly, the people that are having the people that are having troubles with retirement income aren't worried about 85; they're worried about 65. And the people that are worried about the required minimum distribution aren't worried about outliving their money because they're not spending it anyway.
You see, did I use the word idiots when I said that the people that
Congress?
People voted into Washington? It's not just, it's the whole darn shooting match. They don't ask the people who actually know this stuff. They don't talk to the people who actually work in the business and understand it. No, they invent problems. Okay, we've got to take a break. 877-PLANNER, I'll calm down. 877-PLANNER, questions asked and answered. When we come back, right after this. Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. I got to watch the movie again. It's just been too long. You know what I mean? This isn't the original, I don't think. Or is it? This is the actual record. This isn't off of the...
I was actually listening to the soundtrack on the way into work this morning.
Were you really?
Yes.
Oh, man, I haven't heard it for a long time. Anyway, Blues Brothers, the Money Brothers, whatever you want to call us, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, ready to answer your questions at 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Got some lines open right now, 877-752-6637. Whatever money issues on your mind, you give us a call. You can also email us at wealthed.com. And a lot of questions we get have to do with Social Security. I should tell you, we have a Social Security show every Tuesday at 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern at wealthed.com. But also, these changes. We get a lot of questions lately on the Bipartisan Budget Act from last November.
The Social Security rip job.
That's really what it was. Now, for people who are... of certain ages, you're going to lose out on certain strategies, and that's just the way it is. But if you want to know about these changes, if you're watching, you just saw it on there, the big changes coming to Social Security, there's a 5-6 whatever page pamphlet, booklet, sort of authorized by Professor Rick Plum. I don't know, what would you say?
I reviewed it to make sure that it was correct.
Correct, yes. It was written out, and Professor Plum made sure it was all correct, and it is. A big change is coming to Social Security. If you want to know how they affect you, the new laws, whatever it is that happened last year, some of the supposed cuts or whatever, you can learn about that right here. All you got to do is go to WealthEd. A couple ways to do it. If you're on Facebook, because that's where it is, it's on our Facebook page, at WealthEd. You go to WealthEd's page on Facebook. The first thing on there, on our news feed, is the link. You go click on that link, you can download it that way. Or go to our website, WealthEd.com. There's a Facebook icon right there in the upper part of the page, before the above the area where you email us. Click on that. That'll also take you to our Facebook page. You can download it there at our Facebook page. It's free, of course. Read it and understand it. And if you have questions on it, you can certainly call us here on the program at 877-PLANNER. Because as I said, we do get a lot of questions on these Social Security changes. A lot of the ones that call the Social Security hotline are saying, I'm 60, whatever. I want to know how this affects me. So feel free to give us a call and ask us your questions on that. Once again, that's the Social Security changes coming to Social Security. It's our guide at our Facebook page. 877-PLANNER, our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Let's get to a couple more of these emails. I don't want to leave these people sitting in limbo here. We'll get to Barry, who is asking a question on one of our earlier shows with the professor. Barry says, you mentioned a form of an immediate annuity that included a partial conversion to a long-term care insurance policy when necessary. Could you give me more details on this and what companies may supply this combination product? Well, he's talking about these linked benefit policies.
Right, and it's not an immediate annuity. It's a deferred annuity. So it's not one that is creating income. It's a deferred annuity, and it allows you to, it's basically underwritten for long-term care, and it gives you a long-term care benefit within the contract. And if you need long-term care, you can take money out of the contract, which normally in a deferred annuity, money coming out of a contract is taxable money to the extent that there's earnings in it. But if it's being used under the long-term care rider that's on these contracts, it's tax-free distribution. Now, I wouldn't just go out and buy one necessarily, but if I had an annuity that had a lot of deferred income in it and I was worried about long-term care, I may do a 1035 exchange of that tax of that contract into one of these new contracts. There may be better ways to do it if you didn't have that tax-deferred ticking time bomb already sitting in your personal account. But they're out there. Now, I'm not going to give names over the air. Contact somebody from Lucia Capital Group, and they'll help you out with that. And they'll be able to, see if it actually fits within your needs. I've seen people think that they have an annuity that has gain in it, but then when we look at the ownership, it's actually an IRA. Well, unfortunately, IRA money can't be used for this very well because it's not going to be tax-free because it's a distribution from an IRA, not just from an annuity. So let's see how it works. And
yeah, they can work quite well for certain people. It's nice to know because, I think what's keeping a lot of people from buying one of a long-term care insurance is the fact that they really think, I'm never going to use this.
Well, and the fact that the price is relatively high. You
know, relatively, it's very high, yeah.
We just saw another one of the major insurers, long-term care insurers, raise their rates quite substantially recently.
Yeah.
And so if you run a quote and you look at it and you say, you want me to pay that much money for something that's not a guaranteed need? I mean, I may not need long-term care. And you're right. Some people look at it like, I'll play the bad odds that I don't need it. And so a lot of people are looking for ways to cover the long-term care. Most people don't mind insurance. They just don't like to pay for it. And if it were free, you'd have all kinds of insurance. And so it's all a matter of cost.
Yeah.
And so now it's just a matter of how do we fit it into your portfolio? Do you have the assets in other areas that you may or may not need for different goals that you can redirect to this particular goal to satisfy the need and maybe not have a monthly premium?
Exactly. We can direct you to, if you want to contact us again or whatever, we can certainly direct you to some more information on these linked benefit policies. As you said, they can work well for certain people, not for everybody. I want to skip down to Tom in Lawrenceville, Georgia, as we got some time here. 877-PLANNER, by the way, is our number. On March 3rd of 2016, way back then, Professor Plum was talking about annuities and structured notes that had a little more risk but better return than an annuity. I'm not familiar with structured notes, but I'm interested in something that would provide a better return than an annuity. Can you explain the structured note, please? That's Tom in Lawrenceville, Georgia.
When he's talking about better return than annuity, he's talking about better return than a traditional fixed annuity.
Because this is an annuity.
Or traditional indexed annuity. With a traditional fixed annuity, you have a guarantee of principal and a stated interest rate. Right now, the stated interest rate is slightly under 2% for a 3-year hold and about 2.5%-ish for a 5-year hold. Some people want to do a little bit better than that. So they'll move to the next step, one step up, where they say, I still want the guarantee of principal, but I want to get a little bit, potentially get a little bit better rate of return than the fixed annuity. So they go to an index annuity. An index annuity gives you an interest rate based on the movement, if it's positive, of an index, the S&P, the Russell, something like that. And typically, they're going to have caps in the 5-5.5% range. So if the market goes up better than 5.5 to any amount, you get an interest payment of 5-5.5, whatever your cap rate is. If the index goes down for the measuring period, your contract time, you just don't get any interest. You don't lose anything. You're not invested in the market. It's a fixed account. But some people say, well, if it's a 4.5-5 cap and I get 3 or 4 years of up and then 1 or 2 years of zero, my average is like 3.5-4%. Yeah, that's what you should expect out of an index annuity cash value growth. So how do we get a little bit more? Well, instead of going all the way out to just the market without any constraints to it, there are these structured products. Now they do come, the ones that are most efficient that I've seen lately are in the form of an annuity. So it's under the annuity contract wrapper. But if you use just the structured products, the ones that I've seen do not have any fees, which is one of the big bugaboos about annuities, the fees. This one doesn't have any. Fixed annuity, no fees. Index annuity, no fees. It's only the variable annuities that have fees. This one's kind of in the middle. There are no fees on this portion of the product. And what it does is it gives you a higher upside potential. Instead of a cap of 4 or 5, maybe you get a cap of 8 or 9. So if the index that you're in goes up 9 or 10 or better, you get a 9% interest for the year. Now the problem is it's not 100% guaranteed on the downside. But it is buffered, which means that there is a certain amount of downturn in that index that you won't experience. So if the buffer is a 10% buffer, if the index is down 10% or less for the year, you don't lose any money. You don't gain any money either. There's no interest credit
to
your account.
If it's down 9%, you're down zero.
You're at zero.
You're at zero.
If you have a 10% buffer and it's down more than 10% over the measuring period, then you're going to be experiencing the excess downturn.
So if we go down 12%,
you're down two. You take the buffer off of it, and you're down the rest. The buffers come in multiple flavors. I mean, you can buy them, you know, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year terms, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25% downturn buffers. But also know that the bigger the downside protection, the less the upside cap. So usually we're working off 1 year time horizons. That seems to be where most advisors are playing in the game. But the idea is, let's say you have $100,000 and you put it into an S&P index fund, just the market itself, and it goes down 15% like we saw, you know, or 12% like we saw from part of last year till the end of January, halfway through February. Well, if you had just put it into the market, your $100,000 turned into $85,000, $88,000. if you'd used one of these types of contracts, it wouldn't have gone down that far. Your 100,000 would have gone down to 98,000 or 95,000.
Well, and may I say, when you say this, I'm sorry for interrupting, it's a whole lot easier to get back to your original 100,000 if you've only lost, you know, 3,000 as opposed to losing 13,000.
Now, these are intended for intermediate term time horizons, 5, 6, 7, 8 year time horizons. I've seen one as short as 3. Obviously, the shorter the time horizon, I'm talking about the surrender period where you can't really get to the money. There is what they call a substantial payment for early withdrawal, contingent
penalty,
deferred.
Not payment.
Penalty. So you do have to be able to fit these into the right areas. They're not just 1 year commitments. They're 3 year, 5 year, 7 year commitments. But they're not the market. They're different. They're intermediate. They're
right.
Not long term.
And again, it's, you know, the more risk you want to put on,
I like
it, the greater the potential reward. I like them too, quite frankly. That's what it is. Tom, I hope that helps you out. Start your notes. If you have any questions on this, you can certainly call us or email us. 877-PLANNER is our number. PLANNER. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Almost forgot it was here.
That last time.
Yeah. How long could I get away with playing this song where I don't have to pay ASCAP or BMI?
That was like 30 seconds, right?
It was something like that, yeah. It costs us like $80 or something like that.
It's not worth it.
It's almost worth it, but no, not $80 worth, no. Yeah, Rod Stewart, Faces, 1970 or 71, I can't remember. Doesn't matter, great song. Okay, 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. You have money questions? Sure you do. We answer them here for you. You can call us or email us there at wealthed.com. We'll get to a couple more of your emails. Trivia coming up in just a second. But first, Monday on this program. Monday we'll be back live. Going to be talking about required minimum distributions. We've had some questions on this too. Required minimum distributions. You may be aware, maybe you're not, that at age 70 and a half, you must begin, the year you turn age 70 and a half, you must begin taking minimum distributions out of your retirement accounts. The tax law requires this. Now, you can postpone the first one up until the end of the first quarter of the next year, but after that, you have to start taking it out every single year. So, strategies. Believe it or not, there are strategies that you need to be aware of regarding required minimum distributions. A lot of them have to do with taxes because people get surprised a lot of times. All of a sudden, they're forced into, if you can believe this, forced into getting more money. Well, what does that do? That, of course, adds to your income. It adds to your ordinary income if it's coming out of an IRA. And what does that do? Well, that can affect a whole bunch of other things, not just your ordinary income taxation, but taxation on your Social Security. So planning for this event, 5 years, 10 years ahead of time in many cases, can be a real help. So we're going to talk to you about that coming up on Monday on this program right here, Bucket Strategy Investing. Okay, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Trivia time. Let's see what you think of this, Professor Plum.
Okay.
This comes from the wonderful people at the Internal Revenue Service, IRS. Taxpayers that reported less than $50,000 of adjusted gross income in tax year 2013, according to them, paid 6% of all federal income tax that year at an effective tax rate of 11%. Really?
Okay, I'm going to throw the flag on this one.
Okay, so you're going to do the challenge flag. You're calling...
I'm throwing the flag. I'm saying that this is not a true statement, even though the IRS is saying it. The average effective rate for people that show $50,000 or less on their tax return is not 11%. In fact, if you are a single taxpayer with no deductions, no kids, nothing, you don't even pay 11%. Now, you pay very close to it. It's like 10.8. But if the highest of the high taxpayers in that bracket pay 11, then the average assumes there's got to be some people that pay, you know, that have lesser incomes than $50,000. The average is not 11%. It may be 5 or 6%. A married couple is only paying 7% of their income at $50,000 with no deductions, no kids. Yeah. So they're saying that bracket is paying 11%. Everybody with $50,000 or less pays an average of 11% of their income. No, they don't. They pay a much lower effective average on that particular area.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they necessarily came up with that. There is a sliver of the group of people that probably would pay that, as you
close
said.
To 11, but only if they are right at that 50,000 mark, single, no kids, no dependents, no anything else.
Well, and they said reported less than 50,000.
Less than 50,000.
So what that tells me is 20,000.
That means everybody, 20,000, 30,000. It says that married couples filing a joint return, they don't pay 11% of their income less than $50,000 in federal income tax. No.
I think, what do you suppose they're getting at here at the IRS?
I don't know. Maybe they're trying to make it believe that because everybody talks about how, the rich pay a very large percentage or their effective tax rate is.
Oh, yeah, it could be.
So it may be a political statement. I didn't normally expect that from the IRS.
You never know.
I mean, they're just a collection agency.
Well, remember, the political side of it, a couple of years ago.
And there have been...
And there are a bunch of them let go.
Yeah, a lot of times certain politicians use the IRS for political motives.
Oh, come on.
But typically the IRS doesn't issue political statements.
No, and this may or may not be, I don't know, but there's your trivia for the day. All right, let's get to Rick in Pompano Beach, Florida, who says the following, bucket one filled 5 years, not needed until January 2018, sitting in a money market at Fidelity. Would I be better off laddering it in brokered CDs with them for a little bit better return? Once again, trying to sort of bucketize the bucket here, Professor.
And yes, now whether you use brokered CDs or some other products, I think you could, do something because you don't need the money right now. Now, I would keep enough money in cash to get me 2 or 3 years worth of income need. You don't need any for 16. You don't need any for 17. You said you're not going to retire until January of 2018. So the money we need in January of 2018, we just have to make sure that the time horizons fit, but keep, something in that area. An online bank is good for that right now because it's earning a little bit more than what a CD would actually earn over that period of time. But this is where laddering, I think, fixed annuities may make more sense. That fixed annuity that I mentioned before, a little bit under 2% for 3 years. Got to make sure you have enough liquidity for the first 3 years, which means 2018 and the first quarter of 19. But I think it makes sense to have a little bit of money there. It's like laddering CDs. I just think you can get a little bit better rate of return than laddering fixed annuities than you can with laddering CDs. When I've looked at the rates, they tend to be just a little bit higher. Now, some people, even if it's a quarter point higher, they still won't use an annuity because it's an annuity and annuities are always bad. Now, annuities are just tools. CDs are just tools. And as long as I'm not using a low rated insurance company, 3 years, I'm not worried too much. I'm not worried at all, actually.
Yeah, so, the concept of laddering, I mean, really what this is doing is taking advantage, or trying to take advantage of a possible increase in interest rates. You're not locking it up for a certain period of time where you're stuck with that interest rate. You can choose, as new interest rates come in, we hope higher at some point, you'll be able to use those and take advantage of that.
Right, and so it's available, you might lock it up for 2 years, but you're not going to spend all this money in the first 2 years anyway. So you want it to become available when the money's necessary. If I need $20,000 a year, I have a $20,000 in cash for this year. I have a $20,000 1 year account, a $20,000 2 year account, 3 year, 4 year, 5 year account. And so each year, $20,000 becomes available plus whatever it's earned over that period of time. That's laddering. And so it can work. I just think you need to open up your opportunities a little bit from just CDs to something that gives you a little bit better rate of return.
Yeah, and that is at least relatively safe in that regard. Okay, we're out of time for this hour. If you need the brain trust at any time, you can call the folks at Lucia Capital Group. You can talk to any one of the Brain Trust advisors, Professor Plum included, at their off-air number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.